By now, you likely know that Hawaii has a mandate to reach 100% renewable standard by the year 2045. How the state can get there while injecting positive economic growth was the focus of this week's Verge Hawaii Asia Pacific Clean Energy Summit. The three-day conference was sponsored by community convener Green Biz in partnership with the State Energy Office. Joel McCower is chairman and executive editor of Green Biz Group. He's on the line now with some of the bigger issues that attendees took away. Hi there.
Aloha.
You know, over 3 days, you have a lot of time to be able to talk and to listen and to hear and to see how these various groups of people that you convene through the Verge Conference are interacting with each other. Sometimes it's a surprise that people who have interests in common or that would have interests dependent upon each other are actually in the same room. Did it take long to get this group together to actually sit down and listen to itself?
Well, I think this is a group that wanted to meet. I mean, one of the reasons that we've partnered with the State Energy Office to do Verge Hawaii was because this mandate is, you know, relatively easy to commit to, pretty hard to actually pull off. And to do that well, not just technologically, in terms of implementing all the, you know, solar and wind and biomass and all these other energy sources and technologically integrating them into the grid and in a way that does not interfere with the grid. It's also about economics. It's about the cultural issues. It's about ensuring that these technologies are made accessible to everybody in Hawaii, not just those of well-to-do and businesses. And that we're respecting the cultures and traditions that make up the state. And so, and then there's universities and healthcare and, of course, government agencies at every level from cities and counties up to the state. And not the least of which is the military, which, of course, has a big presence there. And we had speakers there from the PACCOM, U.S. Pacific Command, and the Navy, and a number of parts of the military who are already figuring some of these things out. So the challenge is, first of all, getting everyone in the room and then having a conversation. And once they're there, they really get into it. They really wanted to talk and share.
All right, well, let's take some of that apart a little bit, because here we are and we say the time frame of 2045, and it sounds like it's so far away, and yet it's fewer than 25 years away, and you blink and you're kind of there. We're only about a quarter of the way into that, aren't we, in terms of that renewable energy mandate?
Yeah, and it's happened, you know, fairly. It's gone from 9% to, by the end of last year, it was 26%. And that's good. And according to Governor Ige, who addressed the conference, said they're ahead of schedule to hit 30% by 2020. But that still leaves 70% to go in just 25 years. And it's hard. I mean, as the expression goes, you picked the low-hanging fruit. You've done the sort of relatively easy things in terms of the buildings that are, at least many of the buildings that you can easily put solar panels on and things like that. Now come the harder things, and so that's really a lot of what we talked about.
So let's talk about some of those more difficult things, because you're right. You know, the easy stuff has been accomplished, but that still leaves the vast majority that we've yet to do. What are the more difficult things, and in what order would you see them?
Well, first and foremost, it's efficiency, which is not about renewables, but putting in renewables without putting in efficiency first. In other words, using the least amount of energy you need is like having a Diet Coke with your double bacon cheeseburger and calling it a balanced meal. You have to, or calling it a diet. You really have to do the basics first. So number one is use the least amount of energy it takes to do what needs to be done. And that's not just things you plug in, but it's vehicles. It's every type of energy in the state. And then number two is, you know, figure out, there's still a lot of buildings. If you just look around Honolulu or Waikiki or, you know, the big touristy areas, there are a lot of buildings that don't yet have solar. There's still a long way to go. So there's the tip of the spear is has been out there and doing these things. But there's a lot of building owners and some government agencies and others that, that can certainly jump in. And so, I mean, those two things alone will get the state much further, much faster.
I want to just bring us back a little bit to something you said a little earlier in the conversation, where you were really starting to move into the area of energy justice, that as all of this begins to happen, that we don't lose sight of the importance of engaging local and indigenous cultures, the Hawaiian culture, to be able to make sure that, that we're not having it disproportionately borne by those who are the least able to.
Right. We had a terrific panel the other day with a woman named Rose McKinney James, who's been a very active leader in energy justice, Vien Trong, who heads Green for All here in California, and Talanda Baker from the University of Hawaii at Manoa, talking about these issues and why energy and climate justice are so critical. Of course, the effects of climate change often hit, and energy and environmental issues often hit those at the lower ends of the economic spectrum first. They tend to be the ones that live near either power plants or processing facilities, recycling facilities, you know, things like that, where there's dirty, a lot of trucks going through with diesel fumes. And so we cannot do this if this is not done for all, if we cannot figure out how to engage the communities and make sure we're doing it in a way that's not just respectful culturally, but economically fair. And that's a big challenge. And that's certainly not unique to Hawaii. That's a challenge that all over the world we're seeing. Most states and countries that have clean energy commitments are dealing with.
Joel, we've got to go in just about a minute or so, but I don't want to leave you without asking you about tourism, because it seems like tourism industry hasn't really gotten any skin in the game with this, or bought into the idea that we have this mandate. What do we do?
Yeah, you're right.
How do we bring them into the whole idea of engagement?
That's a big challenge. I mean, we had a sustainable tourism summit during the 3 days on Wednesday, and brought together the airlines and the electric companies and the Hawaii Tourism Authority, and it's just at the beginning of a conversation. It's going to continue. We'll continue it next year at Verge Hawaii 18. They need to be part of this, and they don't necessarily see it. It's a little bit, I don't have time to get into it, but ironically, the tourism industry does not fully see how sustainability it connects to the tourism industry. And of course, most of us outside would look at it and say, well, Hawaii is all about the environment, and we need to care for that. And so the 100% renewable energy mandate, connecting that to the tourism industry is going to be one of the big hurdles ahead.
I want to thank you for giving us a real overview of what happened over the last 3 days, and we'll look forward to talking to you again and seeing how this plan begins to move forward and how these groups that have come together are actually hopefully working together towards some of those objectives that you outlined. Thanks so much.
I look forward to that. Thank you, Beth Ann.
Joel Makaur is chairman and executive editor of Green Biz Group, creator of greenbiz.com, as well as research reports and events on the corporate sustainability strategy and trends. He hosts the annual Green Biz and Verge conferences around the world and is the principal author of the annual State of Green Business report.